Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you made it tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. You came back for part two. Amen. Oh, we got some things. You know, we're going to have some reminders tonight. We're going to go through some review and stuff like that. But we're going to get into new stuff as well. You know, even as I was before God today, I there's even more I was getting out of this. And I just, you know, I don't know if there'll be a part three or not, or if God will just bring it out tonight. I don't know how it's going to manifest. You know, I don't know how it'll come out, but we believe God for it. We believe God for all that he has. Amen. Because God loves us. Praise the Lord. And he's got good things for us. Amen. And you guys came tonight seeking it. So we know that we're going to walk into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about reflecting God's glory, part deux, as they say in France. That's two in American English. Praise the Lord. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you come excited tonight? Yeah. Stirred? Praise the Lord. You had to have, because if you get, you know, to get out some, I mean, I don't mind driving in the weather, but I know a lot of people, you know, don't like coming out in the weather. And so if you came out, you know that you're stirred in towards the things of God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Praise the Lord. It starts off, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame, praise the Lord, the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And these things which are, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." Glory to God. Praise the Lord. "That no flesh should glory in his presence." Amen. Well, we see here that God, of course, you know, God is showing us in these scriptures that his purpose in things, he's not trying to, God wants his glory to be reflected through us, amen? He wants to be able to use us to do the greater things. And he does it because he doesn't want any flesh to glory in it, amen? You know, these scriptures mean so much to me personally because in my life has been, it was marked by a lot of failure, a lot of, you know, a lot of trying and not quite making the mark, measuring up to the mark. It seemed like everything I did in life failed, amen? But God is so good that he would take that and he would use, I just noticed that we still have our thing from Sunday here, praise the Lord, our illustration from Sunday. It's just funny when you look down and you see this. Praise the Lord, distract me a little bit, but. Anyways, but God wants to use the base things. He's using the things which are, he's using the things which are not to put to shame. He's using the things that, which are foolish to put to shame the things that are mighty or wise. Amen. You know, and you might think to yourself, well, why would God do this? Because it seems like, you know, so many people in so many churches, they think that God would use, you know, if I can speak well, they think, well, God must want to use me. Or if I can sing well, God must want to use me. But that, and now it's listening to what I'm saying, praise the Lord. But that's not what God is after at all. God is after, and the reason that I got today was for high contrast. You know what I mean? When you want something to stand out, you need a lot of contrast between them. If I was just very talented, if I could just get up before people and speak and do my own thing, if it was all about what I was able to do, praise the Lord, or any other minister for that matter, there wouldn't be a lot of, you know, people couldn't say a whole lot about it. You know, we had some, you know, great politicians and stuff like that who are very great oratory ability, praise the Lord. They could stand up and speak, and they could give speeches and rally the troops, amen, and everybody gets excited. But how many know that it's far better, it speaks far more of God's ability and what he's doing when he does it through a person who can, amen? And the reason that that these scriptures are pertinent, I think, to us is because, you know, here we live in a small town, amen? Most of us, you know, if you live in this area, you live in a small town. Even if you live in Jamestown, it's relatively a small town. So that's, you know, that's probably one of the bigger towns in the area. But, there's not a lot that people would expect out of a little corner here in Podunk, USA, amen? That people aren't, people wouldn't expect a lot to come out of this area. But I believe that God's doing something big here. I believe that God's doing something big through the family churches. I think God's doing something big through Family Church Mayville, amen? And I think that God, I believe with all my heart that God wants to show his glory. He wants to reflect his glory in all of us. Of course, we know this truth as it pertains to all Christians, that God, his desire is to reflect his glory through humanity in general. But specifically through this area, through what God is doing here, I think it's pretty amazing. And it's going to be, it's something that we have to contend for. I don't know if you remember last week or 2 weeks ago when I started this message off, that I talked a lot about, or I began talking about how this message is really for people that hunger. You know, and that's something that we all have to, we have to decide that where we're at is not enough for us. Amen. That what we've had of God is not enough. You know, there's so much going on in this world. There's so much that is distracting people. There's so much that is pulling us away. We see it all, it's at an all-time high in history. And it makes sense because of the time period that we're in, that the devil is trying to rob everything he possibly can, so he's throwing out as much as he possibly can to get people caught up and pulled away. But we want to focus on the things of God because we want to see the greater level of glory, amen? And of course, we talked about glory and what glory is. The glory of God is really his magnificence. That word glory translated is literally magnificence. And so we see that it's a word that speaks about the whole magnificence of God. Everything that's wrapped up in what God is, that's what glory is. And he wants to reflect that glory through us, praise the Lord. But I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about our sign when I was doing this. When this summer when I was building our sign, I like gold, and I wanted the letters to be gold, and this was like a, you know, it was pretty important to me, so I paid extra money to have the letters gold, painted metallic gold, amen, and I get the sign all built, get it all put together, and I start putting the letters up, and I step back, and I realize, uh-oh, gold doesn't contrast with brown too well. In fact, when you step back about 10 feet, you couldn't see the letters hardly at all. You go back 20 feet, and if you're driving down the road, you wouldn't see it at all, so I had to go back and spray paint them. We spray paint them like a silverish color. Actually, it was supposed to be white, but it's pearl white. Doesn't matter, but it contrasts. Amen. And now it's seen a lot better. It's reflective, and that's exactly what we are. We are to be reflections of God. We are meant to reflect His glory, not ours. This is where people get caught up, because in a society where it's a me society, where everything's about me, what can I do, or what I can do, or what I can have, or what I want, me, when we have societies like that, it has nothing to do with reflecting God. It has everything to do with reflecting themselves. We see this a lot even in people, that oftentimes people will do things for somebody, and it's and really their motives behind that oftentimes are because they want to be seen. You know, you see that on Facebook. I did this, and this today. Praise the Lord. I did this and this. I helped this person. And, you know, you just want to be, I just want to be humble, but I helped this person and just wanted to do my good deed for the day. And everybody gets on there and everybody else gets excited. You know, people get excited for that stuff too. And it's all about self-motivation. It's all about self, what they can do themselves. Amen. And people don't need to rely on God anymore because they're relying on all these other things. People aren't seeking after God because they're relying on all these other things. And what's interesting is that God is sitting back and watching. You know, we see, we can almost get an image of the Father sitting up there watching these people try, knowing that if all he did with one word, and everybody could just drop dead. Everybody would just be wiped out. I mean, could do that, right? His power, his ability, all he would have to do is stand before us and we would all fall out. Completely gone, you know? But we're so many people are they're focused on what they are or what they can do or what they want, and in that they're missing the greater glory of what God has for them. You know, we have a how do I want to say this a very huge flesh problem in the churches, where churches are trying to do things, all things based on the flesh, what they can, you know, what programs they can come up with, or what outreaches they can do. And I'm not against outreaches and stuff like that. But the thing that we have to understand is we have to be careful to do what God has called us to do, because God isn't calling us to do all these things. You know, Jesus fed poor people. He fed the multitude. And that's a wonderful thing. We see that. But he did so to reflect God's glory. You know, he always pointed it back to the Father, and he taught them as he went. Those people that left there that day, they didn't just leave full in the belly. They left there full in the spirit. They knew something. They walked away with something that they didn't have before. And I'm not talking about something carnal or something fleshly. I'm talking about they walked away with a knowledge, with an understanding that they just saw God, that they saw God move in a miraculous way. They didn't just walk away feeling good about themselves. Amen? And so when we have a society that is so wrapped up in just in feelings and how we feel and feeling good, blah, 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 blah. And all it does is it robs from what God truly has for us. It's a substitution. We see in the Old Testament in the temple, and they got rebuked for it, but in the Old Testament, they had tried to substitute the gold instruments with brass. And, you know, of course, it angered the Lord quite greatly because they basically tried to cheap out, make it look good, you know, pull the wool over someone's eyes. But see, we don't want to do that in our own lives. We don't want to have church and be substituting brass for gold. We want the gold, amen? And so we need to desire it. We need to hunger for it. And in doing so, we have to seek the Lord for it. But we see here again that no flesh should glory in his presence. God is not trying, God will bless us, God will build us up, but his goal is not to make us look awesome, amen? His goal is for us to reflect his glory. And so that's exactly where we want to be, amen? Turn with me to Zechariah 4, praise the Lord. Zechariah is in a crunchy place in the Bible. Man, it's right before Malachi, in case you didn't know, which is right before Matthew. Zechariah 4. In verse 6, praise the Lord. It says, "So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit." Hallelujah. You know, it goes on to talk about in this next section of scriptures about not despising the day of small beginnings, you know. See, God doesn't look at things the way that people look at things. People look at things and think that there has to be, you know, I've had many people ask me this about our Cory Church. They ask me all the time, they ask, how's Cory going? And I know most of the time when people ask me that, what they want to know is, how many people are coming? How big is the church grown to? And you have to understand that, of course, we are there for the people. We want to grow the church, and we plan on growing the church. We are growing the church. But we also have to understand that there's a process of time in things sometimes. You know, people don't go out when you first put a seed in the ground. They don't go out the next day and go, you know, how's the corn doing or how's the tree doing? They give it time to grow with understanding that there is growth, that there is time that it takes to grow. But there are things that are happening that can't be seen. There's things that are happening in that seed that's in the ground that you don't even know. You know, it's like a baby in the womb. You know, in the first couple of weeks that a baby's there, it doesn't look much different. But, you know, it's multiplying, like, incredibly fast. I don't know all the numbers and everything, but it's multiplying and it's growing and it's doing it fast. Amen? And that's really what it's about. Is that, see, there's something happening on the unseen side. And that's the same thing we do when we go plant a church, or when we put into the offering, or when we go out and we talk to people, and we talk to people, and we talk to people. What we're doing is we're doing something spiritual that in the spirit, amen. If we're doing it led by the Spirit, but we're doing it something spiritual, and something is happening behind the scenes. There's things that are moving that we don't know. And see, Christians so often they get distracted and they get frustrated because they don't have the answer right now. And see, it wouldn't be God's glory, amen. If you could just put money into an offering, and then you just turn around and you were loaded because of it. That doesn't reflect God's glory. That doesn't show faith. It looks like something you did. Amen? But when God works in your life and he starts arranging things in your life because you are operating according to his word, and he starts moving things in place, things that could have never happened otherwise, amen? That's when the real power of God is shown. And what it builds in us is something that is even more amazing, because what it builds in us is something that can't be taken away. See, any monkey can be trained to do something. Amen. We can train a dog. We have that, you know, sweet little Cassie at home, and we can train her to do. We trained her bang, and she lays down and plays dead. Amen. And you know, it's not hard to do. We can train her to do other things, and you train dogs to shake and to roll over and all these things. It's not hard to train something. Amen. But to reflect the Heavenly Father, to really get to that place where something is built in you, where God's power and his life is shown in you, that is something totally different, amen? And so we see that in Zechariah. He says, not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. We have to understand that God is doing things in the spirit realm. And we have to learn to be okay with this. We have to not just be okay with it, we need to learn to be excited about it. When we get to use faith, that's not like, you know, a lot of people look at using faith like when you start telling them, you know, like they're going through a trial and you're like, and you start talking to them about faith, people sometimes, they're like, oh, you know, I don't really want to do that. You know, I just want it to happen. Yeah, this is lazy. Again, that doesn't show God's glory. It doesn't show God's magnificence. What shows God's magnificence is when people who formerly couldn't do anything start trusting him and believing him. And then all of a sudden, the power of God shows up in a way that's miraculous. You know, so many people, they look at something like the offering. They think, you know, I would, and I've said this before, I'd pay off the church building. But how awesome would it be if people that use their faith to believe God, people who have nothing, and use their faith and believe God to pay off a church building, and people that, he will still increase people. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to take that away from it. But how awesome would it be? You know, that's what Jesus was referring to when he pointed to the widow, excuse me, who put in two mites. He pointed to her and said, don't look at all these people that brought in the big offering. He said, look at the poor woman. And he didn't say look at the poor woman because you want to model yourselves after a poor person. That's not what he said at all. This woman believed God so greatly, so much that she was willing to put it all in. Let it all ride, praise the Lord. She put it all on one color, one number, and she said, let it ride, praise God. And because of that, she is eternally talked about in Scripture, amen? That is a great reflection of God's glory. Now, we don't know what the outcome of that woman is, but I can suggest this, I could say this, that according to Scripture, that woman got blessed. Why? Because nobody does the word and doesn't get blessed. Everybody who does the word gets blessed. They grow. It's just a principle. Amen? Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. Amen? Well, what if you gave everything? I mean, really, what if you gave? And I'm not telling you to give everything. You understand what I'm saying? But it blesses God more. It shows God's ability, his power. See, if a bunch of people, if a bunch of millionaires walked into this church and said, you know, and there's a bunch of millionaires around. All we need is one to walk into the church and pay off the church. That's all you need is one millionaire, right? But what if five walked in and said, "We're going to fund everything for the rest of the time you're here"? Nobody else would have to do anything else. Nobody else would have to touch anything else. You see, that wouldn't show God's glory. That would show man's ability. People would point to them and they'd say, "Well, look what that millionaire did." You know, we don't know. I mean, how many just random poor people in California can you name? But how many billionaires could you probably, how many millionaires could you name? I bet you if we sat down, we could fill a sheet with people just lived in L.A., praise the Lord, of people. But how many saints in L.A. could you name? How many people that are out there laboring for the word of God? How many of those can you name? See, that's the difference. And see, that's exactly what the world is striving for. This is why people get foolish, you know, people that are talented, they want their kids to do things like, you know, if their kid's talented in football, they want them to play football because, you know, why? You think about that. Why? Or if you're a good singer and you want to be a famous singer, what's the point in that? So you can glory in yourself? It's self-motivated is all it is. And for the parents, it's the same thing. Why? So you can see your child on stage. What are they gaining on stage that they're not gaining in everyday life? What are they gaining by playing football? What is a football player that's on some famous football team? I don't know. But I don't know any famous football players right now. But what are they gaining right now that some teenager out there on the field playing touch football or whatever isn't gaining? What are they gaining besides money and fame? Amen? And those aren't the things that we're supposed to focus after. See, God has no problem with that, and he will include all that. He'll put all that in there. But you see, all this stuff, basically why I'm bringing this up is because all of this stuff is reflection of man's glory. It's what man can do. God isn't impressed by it. God isn't impressed. If there'll be people that will make, a couple $100,000 a year, and all they'll do is tithe. And God isn't impressed by that. When you have somebody who makes maybe $20,000 a year, and they tithe and they give on top of it, and they serve, that impresses God. Hallelujah. And so we have to start looking at things differently too, because if we want the glory, listen, if we want the glory, we have to look at our own lives differently. What I'm talking about, if we want the magnificence and the splendor of God, if we want the ability of God raining out on us, God promised to give to those who give. So if you just keep going, it doesn't matter where you're at, because God just keeps blessing. He'll keep doing it. Amen? Every time you step out in faith in anything, and I don't just mean giving of yourselves financially, I mean of yourself in life, giving yourself to the plan of God and saying, all I want is the plan of God. God continually walks. We live our life today, it's so much better than it was last year. So much better. And it's not because we increased in pay or increased in riches or anything like that. It's because we've increased in God. Amen? We walk in things that we have never walked. I said to several people today, I have the best job in the world. My job is to seek the Lord and then to take what God speaks to me and give it to people, God's people. It's the best job in the world. I can't think it. And it's the best job in the world because that's what I'm called to, too. If God had me doing something else, well, that'd be the best job in the world. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's people that are chasing all these things, and they're always ending dead ends. Praise the Lord. But God wants us, he wants us to focus on his glory. He wants his glory to mean something to us, that we will strive for it. How about if we took that same energy that we strive after when we're trying to pay a bill, or when we're trying to get a vacation, or we're trying to do whatever. What if we took that same energy and focused it on God? How much different would our lives look? See, because when the people of God come together and they start doing things, there's something that happens in the group that's undeniable. You know, in the early church, it said that nobody lacked anything. In the early church, nobody lacked anything. Nothing. Nobody. How would that be? Praise the Lord. But see, if we want the glory that the early church saw, we have to walk in that glory today. And we have to do it by our own choice. And we're not going to do it when we're consumed with this program and that program, or this distraction and that distraction. Praise the Lord. There's people that legitimately won't be in church on any given service. And then there's people that have chosen other things. And they think that they have justification in doing it, but the justification isn't there. How are you going to stand before God and say, well, Lord, this was more important to me than what you gave me? How are you going to stand before? See, people don't think that way, though. But those same people will never experience the glory of God. They could sit in a service and everybody else could be soaking up the presence of God, could be falling out in the spirit, and they'll sit there and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't get it. And the reason they don't get it is because they don't get it. They won't get into it. They won't choose to be partake of it. Amen. They won't choose to hunger for it. They'll be sitting there thinking about everything else. Amen. I've seen this so many times where people come into the church to get help, and that's all they ever want. They just want the help. And when they get their fix, when they get their help, then they're off doing whatever they want to do. I've personally invested time and money into people that today won't even call me. People I've had into my home, and people that I've put with my family. Praise the Lord. And today they won't even call me. Won't even send a text message. Or if I sent them a text message, would barely even respond, Couldn't be bothered by it. Things like that. That's real life, amen. And people will look at you and they'll say, well, this and that and this and that, but no, praise the Lord. I ain't gonna go down that road because I just don't wanna. Hallelujah. But we see, so we see that God's not looking for might and power. He's not looking for great ability in you. He's not, all he's looking for is, like we preached on Sunday, willingness and obedience. Willingness and obedience. He just wants people to say, you know what, I want more of God. That's all I want. Praise the Lord. We can be correctable, right? If we can't be correctable, I mean, yeah, I've had people complain to me because sermons have been, they've stepped on their toes. Well, praise the Lord, if it's telling you you're doing something wrong and you need the help to change, be grateful that God loves you enough to say something. Well, yeah, absolutely. Because what good is a father that doesn't correct? Amen? And I'm not saying that I'm a father, but, you know, the Heavenly Father is, and he just happens to use me as a voice. Praise the Lord. But see, people get offended too often. They get wrapped up in their own, what they want. They like correction as long as it's for everybody else, but when it comes to them, they don't want to hear it. Well, praise the Lord. It's good as long as you're getting corrected. Yeah, you get what you need. Praise the Lord. But I'm all right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You don't get me going on that. How will we ever go higher? How would we ever go higher? You know what it's equivalent to? Imagine somebody building a skyscraper. You know, one person don't build a skyscraper, right? You have a crew of people. You got a foreman. You got an architect. You got a foreman. Praise the Lord. I'm just making it simple, simplified. And then you got the laborers, right? You got electricians. You got welders. You got just plain construction people. You got people who operate heavy equipment. You got everybody doing their part, right? But what if the foreman came on the job and was looking at the skyscraper and they're building this structure? I'm thinking of a toy that I had when I was a kid. I think they were called Constructs, and they had these little pieces they put together. Well, what would happen if they start building off the side? You know, they're supposed to be building up, but they're starting to weld things on the side, and they're adding, and they weren't paying attention. What would happen if the foreman didn't correct that? What would happen? Eventually, the whole thing would collapse. But what would happen, and see, this is what people don't ever think about. What would happen if one person is building off this side, one person's building off this side, and one person dug a hole over here and started building their own thing? See, if the foreman didn't correct it, the structure would never get built. The glory would never be present. And that's exactly what a local church is. We come together to be built up into one body. We come together, but see, a lot of people, and these are the people that get offended, these are the people that get mad, they are not here for anybody else. They're here for themselves. Praise the Lord. I'm going to share a scripture with you. Mind? 1 John 2. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to tell you, you will see people come and you will see people go if you stay long enough. 1 John, I'm going to leave my place there. 1 John 2. Praise the Lord. I think it's in verse 19. Praise the Lord. Look what it says here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, this is a litmus test right here. If they had been of us, praise the Lord, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that none of them were with us. What's the end part say? It may be made manifest that they were. See, people will sit there and they will act like they're with you. Oh, I'm with you. With you, as long as it suits them. But as soon as it doesn't suit them, you're gone. But see, it says here that they went out that it might be made manifest that they were never of you anyways. See, God will not allow somebody to stay who isn't connected. And we all have a choice. And now see, here's the wonderful thing about our God. He gives us all that space and time to repent. He gives us those opportunities as we come in to connect and truly connect to something. But not everybody chooses to do so. Because some people are after their own thing. Some people are after their own way. And it's being manifest when you see the fruit of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's why we got to keep doing what we're doing. We have to stay after what God has for us. We want to build the building that God has. Because those who stay are the ones that are after God's plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I use this example so many times. I never made anybody come here. I never made anybody get connected, but everybody came for some reason, and everybody who connected for some reason. Praise the Lord. And that, I believe, was between them and God. Hallelujah. But how you stay connected, you know, somebody can walk off the job, and they're no longer part of that process. They're no longer a part of what God is doing. They're no longer part of that plan. But that doesn't mean that was God's plan. Amen? See, God has a plan for all of us to stay connected and to be part. And this is exactly what this message is about, because this message, the idea of getting into God's glory and seeing the fullness of what God's glory is something that the church needs to be running after. We all need to be desiring this so greatly that it is the focus of our lives. Because, so people think that, for some reason that the vision is the pastors, and so they're the ones that stay before it and stay with it. You know, church is not something that's meant to be a part-time gig for any of us. The church is how God blesses us. We cannot be blessed aside from God's church, because His church is His body. You can't be disconnected from the body. Everywhere I go, my hand goes with me. Everywhere I go, my foot goes with me. Everywhere I go, my legs go with me, or they take me there. My arms go with me. My hair is with me. Praise the Lord. No matter how long or how short, it's there with me. Amen. Everything, every place the body goes, praise the Lord, the parts are supposed to be with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And some people, yeah, but see, this is what happens, is people aren't focused. They're focused on this life in the sense of what they always knew. You know, we talk about so often, we talk about how the Bible says to not focus on, you know, our past lives. That is the life that most people focus on. You know, you say, oh, their past life. Well, they come to church now. Yeah, but they're still focused on what came before. They're still running after those things that came before. And that's why there's never any increase in their lives. There's why there's never any change. You know, God's power is always present. Praise the Lord. God's power is always always able to be tapped into. I heard this said once, and it's amazing, that God's power is in every single hospital room all across the world. God's healing power is there. It just has to be tapped into. Amen? There's power in this building, but there's nothing plugged into the walls in here. And well, there's some things, but if, you know, in a lot of the outlets, there's nothing plugged in. If you're not plugged in, you can't get from the power. Amen? Amen. And we want that, praise the Lord. That's what we're after. So let's go to 2 Corinthians, because we're talking about God's glory. And this is the other, we are going to go back to a little bit of what I talked about last week in a minute here as we get to it. But we're going to start with what the New Testament says about God's glory. Amen. So we're in 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and 1. Look at this. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Do you need a pat on the back? Do you need a cookie? Praise the Lord. Do you need somebody to say, oh, good job? Do you need somebody? Are you justified in what you do? Do you know why people talk about something? Because they're trying to find justification in it. When you hear somebody talking about something, they know that it's wrong or right, praise the Lord. They already know what the answer is. But if somebody's talking and talking and talking, they're trying to convince others, they're trying to convince themselves. They're in the process of deceiving themselves, and they don't even see it. Praise the Lord. But look what it says here. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You are the epistle. You are the epistle. These are called the epistles. These letters, they're called the epistles, the writings. Praise the Lord. Paul is saying that the Corinthians themselves were the epistle. Their life was was the reflection of what God was doing. Praise the Lord. I said their life was a reflection of what God is doing. Well, what about when we look at somebody and we say, it doesn't seem like it's working in their lives. You have to understand something. There is a very real thing that's going on there. They are not connected. They aren't connected, because if they were connected, they would be a reflection. They would be an epistle of the truth. They would be a reflection of the truth. Listen, you cannot convince me God's word doesn't work. It always works. It's always true. Every time. It works for everybody. It will work the same for Chris as it will for Mark. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what end of the spectrum you're on. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. God's word always works. If it's not working, something is disconnected. Amen? And it's not God's word. It's not, I mean, it may be a person from God's word or from the truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when you see in people, you know, and I could use examples. I ain't going to do it because I don't want to hurt anybody. But I could use examples of people who say, well, they did this and did this and did this and this. They came and they came and they came and they came. And no change. It wasn't God. It wasn't the power of God. It was they weren't ever connected to it. It may be that it may be made manifest that they weren't ever of you. They weren't ever connected. Now, see, part of what we do, we get new believers in, and sometimes God's power will hit them fast and will hit them quick, and there'll be a big change or a radical change instantly. But whether or not that lasts is determined on whether or not they connect. What we do with new believers is we try to convince them, we exhort them, we call them to connect and say, listen, I tell people when I sit in this, I've sat in this office with many people and I've told them all the same thing. I said, if you stick with me, if you come to church and you be a doer of the word, if you start doing these things, I said, in 1 year's time, you will not recognize your life. You won't recognize it because it changes every single time. I used to get frustrated as a pastor because people come in and I would see no change, and I started doubting the word. As a pastor, I started doubting the word. I went, wait a minute. You don't doubt the word. See, that what that's saying is I trust the people more than I trust the word. No, I trust the word of God more than I trust the people. Praise the Lord. That it might be made manifest. If there isn't change, it's because they haven't connected. There's been, and of course, what we do is we stay with people and we encourage them. You know, Pastor Tim has always told me, he said, there seems to be cycles of times where people will drop off, or they'll be challenged greatly anyways. One of those cycle of times is 2 years, praise the Lord. At 2 years, some people will either, they'll either go through a really hard test and they'll stay, or they'll go through a really hard test and they'll drop off. Because at 2 years, you've been connected long enough, and it makes sense, you've been there long enough that some things should start showing. That some things, if you've connected, that some things should start changing, amen? We don't expect a baby Christian to come in. You know, there's people that come in, and they may be there every other week, praise the Lord. But if you've been going to church for years, and you go there every other week, Houston, we got a problem. Because you should know better. You're not connecting, and therefore the power of God will not work. In fact, it will work less on you than a new believer or a new person that comes in and has it work dramatically and they're off sinning and doing all kinds of horrible stuff. Why? Because you haven't connected to it. God gives us space and time. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all. Known and read by all. What people read you, they understand if there's been change. They know if there's been change in your life. People who knew me 15 years ago, will, when they see me today, there is no doubt in their minds that there is a change. I've seen videos of me from like when Marky was just a little boy, a little baby. And God, I'm going to tell you, there has been a change. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I'd shaved my head, and I'm not saying any of this stuff is bad in of itself, but this is just the thing that I would project, you know. I shaved my head, my ears full of earrings, you know. I smoke, I drank, I did drugs, I swore like a drunken sailor. I mean, I was just, what's that? I didn't shower, yeah, praise the Lord, all these things. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. There's all kinds of things that were in me. But see, when God got a hold of me and I connected to the word, something changed. Something changed. Now, again, I'm not saying, you know, I don't look at those anybody who's in those positions and say, you know, well, they're horrible people, anything like that. But there's a difference. There's a difference when God gets a hold of you. He takes you up higher. He takes you to a greater level. Amen. I love that about the Lord. Amen. I don't like broken things anymore. I don't like used things anymore. I'm not saying, I mean, I'm not a stuck-up snob. I'm not saying I'm against it. But I like new a lot better. Praise the Lord. You know what I'd do? I love the smell of new clothes so much that if it were up to me, everything I wear would be new clothes. Except I also have this other conundrum that I really like certain clothes. And so if I find something I like, I'll wear it over and over and over and over again. Amen. But I love the smell of new clothes. I love when you put on it. I just feel good when you put on a new shirt or a new suit. Or it doesn't have to be fancy, even a new t-shirt. I just love it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love when you get in a vehicle and it smells new. I hate getting in a vehicle and things are rattling and falling off as you're driving down the road. I hate that. I don't want that anymore in my life. Amen. I want things that work. I want name brand things. I don't want a junk piece of equipment that I get on and maybe it'll start or maybe it won't. When I mow my lawn, I want to mow it on a nice lawnmower. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are not bad things for us to desire or to seek after. Amen. I also like going to the junk stores, you know, the antique shops, as they like to call them, you know, the antique shops. And I like to find things that are falling apart. I like those. I like to do something with them because I'm also artistic. But you understand my point. Like, I decide when that happens. You know what I mean? I decide when something broken is used. You know what I mean? Not using broken things because I have to. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? You're right there with me. Amen. We were talking about the differences in hotels. I used to have this dream. I wanted to go across the United States and stay in all these little ratty motels, you know. Praise the Lord. But, you know, over the years of traveling, over the past few years of traveling as a pastor, I've gotten to stay in some nicer hotels. Because if you go to like an area like out there in California where we go, new hotels are popping up all the time. That's all they are, is new hotels. And because new hotels are popping up all the time, a hotel that's 5 years old will go through and they'll revamp everything and make everything new because they want to compete with all the other new hotels. I'm not kidding you. Well, I'll go out there. I'll go out there soon. And when I go out there, I'm telling you right now that in those the general area will be, there'll be 5 to 10 new hotels. That's just the way it is. I mean, you're talking about areas that are growing so exponentially fast that it's just unreal. But my point is, the other thing is they all compete with each other because they want people in. So they have the nicest breakfasts and stuff like that. They don't just have, you know, it's not just your old Continental. We're talking about this. They don't just have, like, stale English muffins there, a little bit of peanut butter anymore. I'm talking about they have little cubes of brie, you know, on a cheese plate for you, waiting for you, you know. And they have, just everything. You make your own omelet kind of thing and, you know, with all the nice fixings and stuff like that. We're not talking about Motel 6 here, you know what I'm saying? What's that? And the same price as hotels around here. Yeah, we're not paying, I'm not talking about, but it spoiled me a little bit. You know what I mean? Because we'll be traveling, we'll go to a hotel, and I'm like, what's this? What do you mean they don't have chocolates on the pillow here? I can't stand a place like this. Praise God, hallelujah. What do you mean they don't have cucumber water as I come in? I want cucumber water when I go into a hotel. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know. Somebody will take that clip out of context. But who cares? I don't care. But you know, the point is God will he will increase a desire for nice things. This is part of God's glory. You can't hang around a dude. And I didn't mean any disrespect by that. But you can't hang around somebody who paves their parking lot with gold. You can't hang around somebody like that and not want something a little bit nicer. You just can't do that. You can't be in the presence of God and think, I'm okay with dirt. Because you won't be okay with dirt. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know where we were, but... Oh, yeah, we're down here reading it. Yep. Praise the Lord. So, anyways, clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Glory to God. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Oh, glory. See, this is a big problem. Everybody's trying to be self-sufficient. One of the first things that God did with me is take away self-sufficiency. God will do that in us, you know. He'll allow you to get to a place where you don't know what you're going to do, where you can't fix it. Do you understand that? If you're a person who's prone to fixing it, God's going to take you to a place where you can't fix it. And you know why he's going to do that? Because he doesn't want you to be sufficient of yourself. God wants you relying 100% and wholly on Him. He hates your self-sufficiency. You know why? Because self-sufficiency is pride. Oh, I can do it myself. I can do this by myself. I. Well, praise the Lord. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything, as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Praise the Lord. See, people who work too much, they do it because they're self-sufficient. They don't trust God. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit of God gives life. The Spirit of God is always leading us towards life, a real life. Life as God intended it to be. Amen? You understand that? When the Bible talks about life, it's not just talking about living. It's talking about living the way God intended you to live. God intended us to live as reflections of His glory, His magnificence. How does something reflect magnificence if it's not magnificent? Amen? If you're constantly focused on earthly things, if you're constantly... Listen, this is... I'm going to try to separate this for us. If we're constantly focused on earthly things, we cannot see the spiritual things. And so even when we're after the things you need, this is why Jesus said, don't worry. Because just as you're after the things that you think of and the things you want, those things, it's not that God doesn't want you to have those. He doesn't want you looking at that because that stuff all perishes. That stuff burns. That stuff will be gone. It'll be destroyed. You take the most expensive piece of work, our artwork in the world. We love looking at going to museums and looking at artwork. But you take the most expensive painting. You know, there's paintings that in these museums that are priceless that you couldn't pay enough money for because people wouldn't sell them. Amen? But they're going to burn up. They're worthless as far as God's concerned. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy those things or look at those things. Of course, that's not what He's saying. And that's not what we're saying. But we're saying that the focus can't be those things. Because when you're focused on that, you're never going to see the glory. You see, when we're focused on earthly things, we get so consumed with that. You know, like you take the most, again, we'll pull up the golden toilet that my wife and I have talked about, or I've talked about, my wife and I went and saw. It's magnificent to see a golden toilet, see anything coated in gold. It's amazing. It's like, wow, it just stands out. When you go into these cathedrals and you see like the implements of gold or even the brass, but it's all shiny and it's painted and there's the stained glass. It's awe-inspiring, but it's earthly. It's nothing compared to the magnificence of man. And see, this is what I'm trying to say, is if our focus is on the magnificence of man, we cannot see. God will never give us the real thing. And He wants us to have the real thing, because the real thing will make us look at that and go, huh. It'll make us say, I ain't going to have anything but cucumber water unless you give it. So that's what I want when I get in here. I want chocolate on my pillow. You know what I mean? That's the magnificence of God is so much better that the lesser isn't even worth it. But see, people are so focused. You know, it's like, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's like somebody driving a Yugo thinking it's the best thing in the world. Well, I'll tell you what. You put somebody in a BMW and you're gonna start thinking differently about cars. You put somebody in a Cadillac, you're going to think differently about your 1985 Subaru Outback or whatever it was, you know. You're going to think differently about things, amen? You're going to think, man, that's a lot nicer. You know, that's why limos are such a big thing to poor people. Do you know what I'm saying? Like poor people will rent limos when they can because it makes them feel like luxurious. They'll watch shows based on lifestyles of the rich and famous. Or that was one we watched back in the day. Or they'll watch, you know, the Kardashians, or they'll watch things about the, you know, Paris Hilton or whoever. I don't know who people are watching, but all these, they watch these lifestyles of the rich and famous, and they're literally watching it and they're focused on that, and they're being inspired and they're being like drawn in, and they're like, this is the greatest thing. But God's glory is there for us all the time. And all this stuff is a distraction from the true glory. Because when you walk in the magnificence of God, when you walk in His glory, this stuff is just, it's like dirt to you. It means nothing anymore. But see, that's the thing, is that all that stuff gets wrapped up in it because they stick to you like a magnet. You'll go into, you'll start coming into nicer clothes and nicer houses and nicer cars and all that stuff. Because it's automatic when you're focused on God's glory, when you're in His glory. Nice things are attracted to you. Amen? Does that make sense? And I'm not trying to make it like this is a materialistic thing, because that's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm trying to say it in such a way that we say, you know what? It's not worth it to look at those things anymore. To focus on those things, you understand? To make my life about that. That's what people are doing. They're trying to like, oh, I'm going to do this and this because it's a little happiness for now. But God wants it to be, God's glory says we should be in joy all the time. All the time. We should be in fullness all the time. Not just full today. Not just full tomorrow. Full all the time. Do you understand? Full of joy, full of peace. That no matter what happens, it doesn't matter because you're focused. See, this is God's glory, again, is the fullness of God. It's everything that is wrapped up in God. Amen? And so when we're focused on all this stuff, when we're focused on just life, which is down here, we can't rise above it. You have to, you know, I remember back in my karate days, hallelujah, my karate training days. Well, it wasn't really training. What it was this karate guy, known karate, local karate dojo operator, came into the lumber yard I worked in, and I had one question for him. How do you break a board? I needed to know, how do you break a board? And so he taught me how to break a board. It's real simple. Anybody can break a board. You got to hold it right, but when you hold the board right and you hit it right, the board breaks and it doesn't hurt you. You don't have to have a lot of strength or anything like that. It's just like a natural law kind of thing, how things work. But one of the things you do is you don't focus on the board, because you hit the board and as you're coming at it, your momentum, you're already slowing down in your mind. But what you got to do is you got to be punching to something behind the board. So in other words, if someone's holding the board, you're aiming for them. You're not aiming for the board. And when you do that, you don't slow down your momentum. You go right through the board like it's butter. It's no issue at all. Amen? Because the focus is on something greater. The focus is on something bigger. I see what people are doing is they're focusing here, and they're not seeing the grander picture. They're not seeing the bigger, of what God wants to do. They focus on, well, I'm just going to church today. But they're not focused on, well, church is where God shows up and his glory shows up and lives change and things, addictions break and things fall off of people, praise the Lord, where magnificent healing happens. This is the glory of God. You know, Jesus reflected the glory of God perfectly. Everywhere he went was affected. So much so that the man ministered only 3 years. The man ministered less time than I have. Praise the Lord. And changed the entire course of history. The entire course of history. Everybody, millions of people still today are talking about this man from 2,000 years ago. I guarantee you that 2,000 years from now that probably nobody even going to know who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we've done genealogy stuff, and it's hard enough to find something about somebody that lived 50 years ago or 100 years ago. God's glory speak to generations. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What was that? Verse 6. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. So that glory that was on Moses, and we read about that last time, and I want to flip back there because turn with me to Exodus 33. Praise the Lord. Exodus 33 and verse 12. Let's just relook at this, okay? And this is what it says here. I love again what the title of mine is. It says, the promise of God's presence. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name and have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This is a very, very important scripture. Knowing that where the presence of God is, which is also his glory, the presence of God, when it goes with you, he gives us rest. It's perpetual rest. If God is perpetually present, then there is perpetual rest. What is rest? Rest is the ability to say, it's all good. And truly mean it. It's all good. I ain't worried about what's something comes up. No, I'm in rest. Rest is that place where you never get anxious. You never get bent out of shape. You never get upset. You never get worried. You never. That's what true rest is. Amen? So you see, when you understand what God's rest is, you understand that there's something more just to the statement that I will give you rest when my presence is with you. It means that everything that you need is found there. It doesn't matter. You think of physical, you think of natural, you think of spiritual, whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything you need is found in God's rest. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so God promised that with his presence. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. What he's saying is I don't want to go without your presence. Man, you know, people come to church and they think, oh, I just, you know, they act like, it's so tough to come to church. Oh my God, if you understood what church was. I understand that there's times where like, you know, maybe some symptoms are coming on you and you gotta rest. But even if I was sick for a long time, I would get my butt in church because I know that's where the help is. Amen? That God's rest, if you understood that, that's where you would come. Because God's rest is here. God's rest because his presence is here. And the more that people believe that and agree with that and come, the more that we see that, the stronger that rest will be. Amen? Praise the Lord. There'll be people that, you know, they won't come out on a Tuesday night because, well, I worked all day today. Well, congratulations. People work. Do you want the rest? Do you want the presence of God? Praise the Lord. Then he said, verse 16, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? How will the people know? God wasn't walking around on earth then any more than he is today in the sense that you can point to him and say, hey, that's God over there. You know, God showed up in, you know what I'm saying, like physical form. You know, he didn't show up. He's not at the nearest arena. You know, we went and saw President Trump in Erie. It's not like that. It's not like God goes to Erie, you know, like that. I mean, he's ever present. We understand that. But to a lot of people, that's just not good enough. You know what I mean? But see, Moses understood something about God, that when his presence was there, when his presence was on his people, that when his glory was there, that people would notice it. They noticed something different. See, the glory of God changes things in ways that humanity can't understand. The glory of God makes things different. If it's not different, the glory of God isn't there. If this church is the same today as it was when we started, then the glory of God has never been here. That the presence of God has never been here. That God hasn't moved on any of his people. Praise the Lord. Except you go with us, so shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the upon the face of the earth. So many people in the church are striving to look like the face of the earth. The people and the rest of the people. I want to look like them. I want to be like them. I want what they want. Praise the Lord. You know why this country is in such turmoil? Because they're not focused on God. It's that simple. They're focused on what anybody else has got. They focus on what, you know, praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Tim just preached a really awesome message. We were listening to it this afternoon while we were resting. What's that? Two Sundays ago, if you get on his website and listen to it. But, yeah, my wife will share it on Facebook. But, you know, he preached an awesome message about offense. And one of the things he said, if you are constantly looking at what other people have and it makes you mad, you're offended by it, and God can't bless you. Because you're an offense. God can't bless you in offense. It's a really amazing thing. Why do you think the devil's got so many people up in arms? Praise the Lord. Who's your God? Is your God the government? Is your God the politicians? Is your God your neighbor? Is your God, you know, what your friends? Well, praise the Lord. This is why everything's so screwed up right now, because people aren't, they're all focused on the wrong thing. The church included. I mean, churches are by and large, they're fighting back and forth about things that are scriptural doctrine. They're there. You can't argue things. And they say, but we want to change it because, you know, we want to be more like the world. We want church services to be more like the world. Maybe we'll get more people in that way. Yeah, you'll get more worldly people in. That's not what we're after. We're after to teach the world to be different than the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Moses said to, or so the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Praise the Lord. Now, these next two scriptures are incredibly important. And he said, Moses said, please show me your glory. Praise the Lord. If you look that word glory up in the original language, it means abundance, riches, splendor. Show me your abundance. Show me your riches. You understand riches aren't like, we're not talking about money here. We're talking about the, like, in the presence of God, like, in God, there is no lack of anything. So gold is, like, that's why he paves gold, or paves heaven with gold. Because gold in front of God is worthless. So something that is such a huge commodity and that runs this world and that keeps so many people, their focus is on that, it's worthless to God. And when I mean worthless to God, what I'm saying is that his abundance is such a greater thing. His glory is such a greater thing that it means nothing. And it doesn't mean nothing because it's like, oh, I'm a better person and I'm not focused on material things. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, its value is literally nothing. Because the presence of God, there's a constant supply of everything. Praise the Lord. It's a constant supply of everything. Do you realize that's how God created this earth? We want to know about God. Look at how he created the earth. Things produce and reproduce just automatically. You don't have to do anything. They just spring up. You know, you think about fruit or anything else. It just continually. Now, God has given us the ability to utilize it and make the most of it. You know, if we trim the apple tree, in other words, we can get it to produce better and more. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But the idea is that in of itself, God has created the earth to be self-sufficient. Everything we need is here and constantly reproduced. Amen? Praise the Lord. He said, verse 19 says, then he said, this is how he answers him. So Moses asked him for his glory. How does God answer him? He says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I love that. I mean, I was in there reading this today, and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't see this before. He said, show me your glory. Moses said, show me your glory. And God answered, because he said just before that, he said, you found grace in my sight, so I'll do what you've asked me to do. I'll do what you asked me to do. Right? He wasn't just saying that one time, I'll give you the genie bottle wish, praise the Lord, you just do it one time. That's not what he was saying at all. He said, because you have grace in my sight, I'll do what you asked me to do. Isn't that what Mark 11:23 tells us? That ask, believe, and it shall be given to you? That God will do these? How many times did Jesus or the epistles say that God would give us the desires of our hearts? I mean, from all these different areas. We see this, and so we understand that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So he says, show me your glory. God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. This is huge, and this is where I started getting into some really cool side journeys. I don't think I'm getting into it tonight, but there's cool stuff about what it says here. And I'll give you a little snippet right now. He said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Amen? What are we told about Jesus? He's been given a name above every name. Right? Amen? What did Jesus do? He gave that name, that authority, that power of that name, he gave to whom? Us. Praise the Lord. So he said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Do you see a connection here? Praise the Lord. I hope you do, because I certainly do. Pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will give compassion on whom I will give compassion. This does not mean that God is going to pick and choose. What this is specifically talking about is God, we understand through this, and when we connect it back to 2 Corinthians there, we understand that God took these promises, which were given to Israel, which were given to Moses, the children of God, the Jews, which was given to them so many thousands of years ago, we understand that God took those and gave them to people that weren't seeking him, gave them to the Gentiles, which you and I are wrapped up in that, amen? Praise the Lord. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. God's glory is not in his face. I mean, there would be probably a greater level of glory, but that's not what he was talking about. His glory was passing by him, and Moses was able to see that and look in it. And we see, if you go over to chapter 34, of course, in verse 29, then of course we see this. I'll just read through this quickly. Now it was so when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked to him. So we see, and we of course we know, we read this, that the Israelites were afraid because the glow that was coming off his face, the magnificence of God was reflected in Moses' face. Praise the Lord. So we're there. Let's go back, praise the Lord, to 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 3, verse 7. This is what this section of Scripture is referring to, and it's telling us, it's making the connection between the glory that was then and the glory that is for now. Amen? And so this is what people fail to see. People that come in and they're focused on, you know, they just want their wants. You know what I mean? You know, people come in and just want their wants. I need this paid. I need this done. No, you have no idea what God actually has for you. Praise the Lord. Honestly, if you even knew, you wouldn't even ask God. If you even knew what he has for you, you wouldn't even ask God, because you would understand that if you just sought his presence, his presence would come there and everything would be taken care of. Praise the Lord. So verse 7, right? But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. That glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? He said more glorious. God said that his goodness would pass before him. It was reflected on Moses' face. He said that was passing away. He said this ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. Hallelujah. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. And I want to read this in the Amplified, that verse in the Amplified. It says, indeed, in view of this fact, what once had splendor, the glory of the law in the face of Moses, has come to have no splendor at all because of the overwhelming glory that exceeds and excels it. The glory of the gospel of the face of Jesus Christ. It was so much better. It's so much more glorious. Praise the Lord that the people were afraid then. But think about it now. We need to be a reflection of this glory. If we're not reflecting this glory, then something is amiss. Something, and this is where a lot of Christians live. They live in this place where there's no reflection of his glory. They're living the same life as everybody else. They're living the same life because they're focused on the same things. They're distracted by the same things. They look no different because they are no different. They have been made new on the inside. God's glory is waiting to come out of them, and yet it doesn't. It hasn't. Why? Because people haven't connected to it. Because people are focused on things that do not matter. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Glory to God. Do you want me to soften the speech so it doesn't step on toes? Do you want me to make it a little nicer so when you walk out of here, you feel like somebody loved you and somebody patted you on the back? Or do you want the truth so you can get to something that is so much further ahead than everything you've been seeking? See, people come in, they're seeking God. You try to point them to God, and they're like, oh, I don't know, because you're telling me that what I was doing, I was wrong. Yes, absolutely, what you're doing is wrong. What you were doing was keeping you from knowing God. It was keeping you from knowing the glory of God. What you were chasing after was always coming to nothing. What God has for you is so much greater. It's so much more. Christians, we have to look at this. I'm talking to everybody that's in here now. It doesn't matter if anyone else in the church hears this, because they're not here, but you're here. We need to look at life differently. We need to live life differently. I said we need to live life differently. If we look like the world, if we live life like the world, then we are no better than the world. We miss God's glory. We'll never have it. It's time for Christians to stop saying, I can't, and start knowing that God does. It's time for Christians to stop being paycheck to paycheck or trial to trial and start living in God's glory and say, you know what? We live in something great. We've been given the greater. I'm just going to stand there by faith. What happens when people start standing there by faith? It all changes. It all changes. I say, well, I don't know, Pastor Jeff, if I trust that. Well, here's your options. Don't trust it and live the same way you always did. Because nothing changed, did it? Nothing ever changed the old way, did it? Never did for me either. Nothing ever changed until I started seeking God's glory. Nothing ever changed until I started seeking the greater, until I started seeking the better, until I started desiring in me something more than what was just these material things. Because these things didn't matter. I want the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I forgot where I was. Praise the Lord. Boldness of speech. Yes, I remember there. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over the face so that the children of Israel could not steadily look at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Christ removes the veil to the glory of God. He is the one who took that veil away and said, now you can look into the glory of God. But Christians are still living like the Jews. They're still living like the Israelites. God tries to pull the veil back, and they're pulling it back across. And they're doing it by their actions. They're saying, well, I know what the Word says, but I also know how I feel. I also know what I want. I also know what my kids say. I know what my friends say. Praise the Lord. They'll listen to everybody other than the spiritual leadership that God's placed before them. I'm done apologizing for being a pastor. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm your pastor, it matters that I'm your pastor. You're blessed to have me. And I'm not saying that because of me. I'm saying that because of God's glory, what God's doing. You're blessed to have us, to have this church. This is not about us. This is about what God was doing for you. And if you can't connect to that, if you can't see that, well, shame on you. Praise the Lord, but I'm done apologizing because I'm going to tell you something. I know that God placed me here. He placed me here supernaturally, and He's still doing it supernaturally, and it's going to continue to be supernatural. And the people that can't handle that, well, see ya. Adios, Chuck. Praise the Lord. But their minds were blinded for, okay, we read that. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now and where the Spirit of the Lord is, oh, there it is. Where the presence of God is the freedom. The presence of God is not in people who are consumed with the world. This is why so many Christians never see the fullness of what they've been after. They're seeking the answer to the prayers. They're not seeing it, or seeking it, because they're focused on the things. They're focused on the answer, not the answerer. They're not focused on God. They don't see Him. Do you know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. They're not, and as a result, they're not reflecting God's glory. Look at this. Verse 18 is so important. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are to be a transformation. We are being changed. There's something about us that's different. Humans that focus on who they've been, who they are, people that don't understand the glory of God. They're people that don't understand. Listen, have you been made new? So put it down. The devil's the only one that wants to remind you. But a lot of people like to think, well, this is the way I was, this is the way I am. You know, I talk about the way I was not as a because I'm trying to drum up bad feelings. I really don't care. You understand, I have literally got to the place that I have seen what God has done in my life. I am so thankful that I will talk about who I was to show what God has done. And that's the only, and that's exactly what I'm called to do, supposed to do. I'm not bringing it up as some kind of, because I feel bad, because I don't feel bad about it. I don't apologize for it. I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody, or I don't want to have hurt anybody. But the fact of the matter is I can't change those years. And I ain't going to try. But certainly those years are not going to stop me from living good now. Those years are not going to stop me from living with God now. They're not going to stop me from living with all that God has for me now. Those years, I don't care about those. Whatever happened in those, yeah, a lot of bad things happened those years. So, praise the Lord. I ain't that man no more. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see now that this is what it's all about. God wants to reflect. We are supposed to be, we are made as mirrors. We are to reflect the glory of God in our lives. People are to look at our lives and say, by looking at our lives, saying, that's what I want. That's what draws people in. It's when Christians live different. Praise the Lord. It's not Christians who talk a good game. Because there's a difference between talking a good game and actually having the power to back it up. I'm just going to tell you the truth, because we can talk a good game for a while, but sooner or later people are going to know you're lying. You know what I mean? You can sit there and say, God, well, listen, I'm going to take you down that road a little bit. Christians all the time saying, God is good. God is good. Back it up, Christian. How is God good? What's God done in your life? What's God done? Yeah, because people are going to ask you, how is God good? How is God good? I don't understand how God is good by looking at your life. There's a lot of Christians that I see like that. Absolutely. I looked at myself like that. A lot of people, God is good. You got to follow after God. Why should I? Has it done anything for you? See, walking in the abundance of God in all things, in joy, peace, health, prosperity, all these things, these are not optional. See, a lot of Christians look at them as optional. Well, maybe God will bless me with it. Your thinking is wrong. You're thinking like the world. You have to know and understand they are not optional if you are a child of God. It is not optional for my kids to live a certain way because of who we are. It's not optional. I don't accept it. I don't allow it. And I won't allow it because they're children. They're my children. Amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I've encouraged my son, my older son. I've encouraged him. I'm like, you have my name. We live in a small town. So what you do when you live out there, it matters, right? What you, because people will look at your life and it's a reflection of me. And so it better reflect good. The same thing goes with our Heavenly Father. I said, that's an encouragement. We should encourage all of our children like that. When you're out there, you're a reflection of me. You better be reflecting something good. Not reflecting dumb things. Amen? But we're no different. We're reflections of our Heavenly Father. What are we reflecting? What are we showing the world? Are we showing the world defeat? Are we showing the world broken? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a sick Christian, you need to get healed. You need to walk in healing. You know why? Because you're a reflection of your Heavenly Father. And if you're walking in anything less than that, you say, well, how do I have a choice? You have a choice to build your faith. God said you do. He said he's given us all a measure of faith. That's a starting point. But what we do with it, it's like giving somebody a seed, right? If you don't ever plant a seed, if you don't ever cultivate the seed, if you don't ever do anything with it, you'll never produce a harvest. What did the Bible say when he talked about the people with the talents? The one who produced nothing was the one that was rejected and rebuked. What do you think? Who do you think that was talking to? Christians. It's talking to us that it's given us. Why are we not reflecting God? Why are we not showing the world God's glory? Praise the Lord. I've said it all the time. That parking lot needs to be full of nice new cars. Why? Because that's what's going to get the world to come in here. Because they don't understand it, but they know that. They see that. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. God isn't ashamed of you driving it. He's ashamed of you coveting it. You shouldn't covet it. It shouldn't be your goal, but it should just be something that you say, you know what? This is part of the way we are. Amen. This is part of what we get for being who we are. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you inherit things in your genes just because of who you are. Amen. Some people have, you have people like African Americans, they have really curly hair. It's always curly, right? You didn't never get an African American without curly hair. Huh? I've never seen it. As far as I could be wrong, it's something they inherit. They reflect that, don't they? Praise the Lord. It's just an example. It's the most extreme one I can think of in the moment. Probably wasn't good, but God, from you know, praise. I've been preaching for a little while now. But you understand, like if you're, you know, a lot of your parents have, somebody in your family has red hair, somebody else in your family have, you exhibit characteristics of it. We need to exhibit characteristics of our Heavenly Father. Who are we children of? And, you know, of course, we're told the ways, the things that we say, staying in faith and building the faith. If you need faith in the area, build it. That's what we teach for. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to get to the rest of it, but we got that far anyways. Praise the Lord. But we want to be reflections of God's glory. We need to wake up every day and start saying, you know what? I'm a reflection of God's glory. And allow that to transform you. Listen, don't go from 0 to 100 overnight. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You ain't got to be demanding cucumber water tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Unless you're ready to start demanding cucumber water. But if that's where you're at, well, praise the Lord. If you've been without it and it's about time, you'll know it's about time to start demanding the cucumber water. Praise God. Hallelujah. You understand that there's principles that work with all this. Of course, we can't do this if we're not doing the Word, if we're rejecting the Word, if we're being bad stewards and all these things. You understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God.